Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Optimism Show. Today we have Will from Kingfisher Media. Will, it's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Hey Chris, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks for the invite. I'm very happy and excited about doing this and doing a deep dive on what we can explore together.
I know, like, especially when it comes to media, you have like a very unique educational model, which is the learn for impact model. And I mean, I know you based parts of it at least on some scientific research, and I think that would be amazing to cover. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
But just to understand, you know, for me, in 2022, I spent the better part of 2022 having hundreds and hundreds hours of conversations with traditional educators, right? And those are like first grade school teachers in the public school system. Those are, you know, online educators or ed tech education in the educational technical field. One thing that really resonated with me was the glaring gaps in our current educational system. And that's kind of the why behind KF Media. So I thought it was important to get that out there. The two most glaring gaps that came out of that were there's not enough focus on emerging tech. There's not enough focus on skills that are going to benefit human beings to be productive adults when they become adults, right? So from an educational perspective, that's what we chose to focus on. Coming up on 3 years this fall, and we've used the voice of our social audio brand to kind of influence a lot of those decision-making processes. Now, Learn for Impact is a very unique proposition inside of the space because this is our take on a learn-to-earn model. Well, I talked about learn to earn. And for those that don't know, what learn to earn does is it flips the script on the tuition-based, debt-based model, right, that currently exists out there in the ecosystem. Learn to earn is instead of creating debt, you're going to earn based on your learnings, right? And it can be incrementally to start with, and then it can get, you know, more robust as you go through the process, depending on the content you're learning, the progressive state of where you're at, whether is it very basic level, is it intermediate, is it advanced content. So basically flipping the script on the tuition debt-based model, rewarding learners for learning something new is very powerful in and of itself. 18 months ago or so, I got involved with the part of Web3 called the regenerative movement inside of Web3. Okay. And so basically what this is these are project founders, project leaders, program leaders who are focused on impact, okay? Whether it's environmental impact, whether it's social impact, whether it's societal impact, you know, as far as shifting paradigms of how societies are formed, or economic impact, right? So they're creating new economic models that are a stark contrast to what currently exists in traditional finance, right? So this group of people, is just absolutely amazing to operate in that space pretty much on a daily basis, even though we come together collectively on seasonally, maybe 3-4 times a year, have some very amazing conversations for a couple weeks at a time. But we would definitely like ideate and create and like collab and network together, right? So it's just this very beautiful experience there. So a lot of that led to, even though we always had in the vision of a learn to earn model, we didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. So getting to know these people, and a lot of them have within their projects, they have tokens that are representative of their projects, right? So I started analyzing this. I was like, man, how cool is this that we don't have to develop our own token necessarily if we don't want to. We can use someone else's token that's already been developed, just acquire an amount of that, and it has an impact doing ABCDXYZ. Let's say it has an impact of sequestering carbon, right? That's the overall impact. Now we can put that into our learn to earn and allow our learners to earn sequester carbon credits. I mean, you can't do that in the traditional sense, right? So when I started doing the research behind it, I'm like, this is very interesting. When you learn something new, it releases dopamine in your brain, which positively impacts your synapses and the way your brain fires, but it also gives you that good feeling and sense of accomplishment, right? However, when you willingly having an impact in the world, being part of something larger than yourself individually, as altruistic, right? That's a separate chemical release in your brain called acetylcholine. So the combined effects of dopamine and acetylcholine simultaneously releasing in your brain, based on the research I did, this is not like a medical claim or anything. However, has a magnified positive impact on the synapses of your brain and the way your brain operates. And from my perspective, based on the research I did. So imagine if we take people and start transforming their mindsets to be more positive and less negative. And then we can exponentialize that. And by the time you have a billion people running around planet Earth that all want to learn and they want to participate in altruistic activities or they want to make an impact. I mean, how transformative would that be to the human race? It'd be incredible in my mind. We're building a model, setting an example, and looking for partners along the way to collaborate with us so that we can magnify this and exponentialize that.
Wow, those are some powerful points, actually. And thank you for breaking down the model. It actually makes a lot of sense how it flips the traditional learning model into something that's both you can earn and also make an impact, which is a pretty powerful combination. And I'm really curious, looking at it from a marketing perspective or from a media perspective, it could be a very powerful driver to get more people and onboard more people in blockchain while having an additional impact for Kingfisher's Media as well.
Yeah, and I mean, that's part of our growth model, right? We have a couple other programs that kind of speak to our growth model, just so the audience understands, like, where does KF Media sit? So we squarely sit on the shoulders of social impact, right? First and foremost, but where do we sit, like, in the ecosystem? So we're on the forefront of adoption. We have done some IRL wallet activation events previously. And so we're teaching from the premise of simplicity, so everybody can understand it. When we can put it in terms that they can understand and they can relate to it, we're going to get their buy-in, right? So that's the messaging that we've been crafting for 2 years now.
On that perspective, before we move on to the next topic on some other exciting things that you're working on, because I believe this is something like the whole ecosystem can learn, especially with Base and their current efforts in this. Like, throughout those 2 years, since you really focused on quote-unquote outsiders to the crypto world,
let me just interrupt you there for a moment. Yes and no. Okay. So even though we sit on the edge, on the leading edge of adoption, and we want to have touch point with people who are non-Web3 native, the content that we have created, what I've also learned over that 2+ year process, is that it can be leveraged for people who are already inside of Web3 that don't know how to speak that language, and they can equip it in their toolkit, right? This is kind of the drum I've been banging ever since we started writing content from an educational perspective, is that, yes, it's a multifaceted benefit, because one, it's going to benefit the people that aren't here yet and getting into the space. But two, it's going to benefit the people who are already here, so they know how to talk that language, so then they can have a bigger impact on bringing people into the space. So go ahead.
That actually makes perfect sense, and actually even gets my question a bit deeper over there now with that addition.
Okay, cool.
What are the parallels that you noticed when talking to both of these audiences? I'm really curious from that perspective. What are some differences in approaches that maybe have worked for you during these last 2 years?
Yeah, I would say One, like, what is the secret sauce, right, to bringing people into Web3? So one, I would say what works really well is don't make it like a corporate thing, right? So what works really well is just having a natural conversation, right, about maybe what you're passionate about or what excites you. Let it flow into the natural conversation, right? So you want to use relatable terms, that they can understand. Keep the technical speak out of the conversation. But also what also works very well, depending on where you're at too, is like just create like a small event. So think of it, if you host dinner parties, right? Host a dinner party, invite your 10 best friends over for dinner one night, and then allow it to become part of the natural conversation. When I was in Tulum back in December, what worked very well is we invited people to this event. It was a wallet activation event. We set up an event page on it. We said, okay, we're going to feed you, but the trade-off is we want you to learn more about what we're doing here and how it can benefit you, right? So also the narrative should be, instead of like, because I think quite often, and it's a misguided approach in my opinion, people are like, oh yeah, I just made 100% on my $1,500. You know, they're focusing on the gains, right? But what I would say is like, that's a misguided approach because it doesn't set the right expectations, because then everybody thinks, oh yeah, I can make 100% in 3 months like he did, right? And that's the furthest thing from reality, right? Yes, granted, if you have the right opportunity, but in most cases, you have to be on the inside of the inside to have that opportunity presented to you. But when we start changing the narrative and we focus on the value of their participation, that's the approach that we do. It's the value of their participation. So we let them know, right? We're changing the way the internet is going to operate in the future. That's something everybody can relate to. But also, just keep it casual, right? You don't have to be salesy with it or anything like that. One thing that I learned from someone a couple of years ago at an event that they were doing at East Denver, here's how you attract people to your events. You feed them, you provide them refreshments, and you give them a safe space that they can interact with each other in, right? Whether that's a co-working space or a networking space or just like a social hangout space, right? People just want to feel safe. They want to be with other people that they may be familiar with. Matter of fact, if you listen to our show at all, it's baked in our intro. The road to adoption is paved with familiarity. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? We just have to introduce them to the similar concepts that are familiar already to them. That's an, I would say, equitable replacement, right? For what they're already doing, how they're already operating in their daily lives. So I want more people to have this approach. We need 100 million people out there if we're going to reach 1 billion people operating in this fashion and dropping the narrative of this being an investment vehicle for them. That can be the second or the third conversation, but it doesn't need to be the first. But the first should be, hey, you're safe. We want you to participate. Why? Because we need more people involved so that we can help grow this into something very massive and then make it relatable.
Thank you for diving deep into it, because I believe that a lot of these concepts should be more covered out there, especially to actually bridge that gap and to make something that is there to stay. And moving into the last topic, actually, and the one that I'm also really excited about, it would be great if you just give us a bit of an introduction then about LATAM Pathways for the Global South and your collaboration with Magenta and everything that is happening there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Chris. I appreciate the prompt there. So we were thinking about, okay, adoption, right? That's where we sit. We're on the leading edge of adoption. We have to set the example. We have to be a model company. We have to do what we say that we're going to do, right? And to be perfectly honest, what I learned in 2021, when we had the last cycle of excitement and euphoria, and the communities were launching, like hundreds of communities were launching every single day. A lot of people who were launching communities at the time that weren't necessarily from these developing economies, right? Why? Because the affordability aspect of it, right? It was an affordability aspect for them. And a lot of the leadership at the time that was launching these communities put like there were no variables. Let's put it this way. There were no variables. There were no considerations.
What do you mean by variables in this case?
It was like a one point of entry fits all type mentality, right? And so the mentality was like, well, if you come from a developing economy and you don't have what it takes to enter my community, then obviously you don't belong, right? That's not inclusive. If we're saying the value proposition, the narrative of Web3 is to be fully inclusive and equitable to everyone, then we need to walk that talk, okay? We need to take action on it. So what I learned from 2021, say through the end of 2020, people coming from these countries where they have an abundance of financial resources, but if they really did their own research, they'd understand that in developing economies, they don't have the same access necessarily to these resources from a financial perspective. And there's millions and millions of people with rich history and culture that have a lot of skill set that can offer this space if we just take the time to bring them in, to empower them to do this, right? If you teach somebody to do something rather than just providing them a gift, right? It's going to have more meaning to them, right? So when you empower somebody and you give them a hand up and lift them up and raise them up, it's going to be more impactful for them, and it's going to go towards more long-term sustainability, right? How can we get them in the space in an equitable fashion to where they don't have to use the money they normally use to support their families, right? They don't have to have that trade-off. That's not a stress or a burden on their lives. And we can get them educated on what this journey really looks like and what it means. And then we can further take that and transcend it into a career for them, right? So that's really the inspiration for Pathways for LATAM, which started as a pilot project back in October and now has transformed into Pathways for Global Adoption, which has the ability to impact the entire global South on a very grand scale, right? So how does the program work? So what we do is within our network and most specifically in the regenerative network, we partner with the Latin American leaders, the local community leaders, and we say, hey, this is what we're building. This is why we're building it. This is the value that your community can derive from this, right? Are you willing to partner with us and take that message into your community and get them involved so they have a better understanding of what Web3 is instead of what they see on the media? What I also learned through this process, some countries, now they're kind of changing their tune a little bit, but some countries, it's actually criminal to say that you're associated with Web3 or that you hold any cryptocurrencies. It's actually criminal, right? That's a travesty.
Even in LATAM?
Yeah.
Like in South America?
Bolivia was the prime example. Up until 3 months ago, if you said that you owned any crypto in Bolivia, they could jail you and fine you. And it was actually a criminal act to hold cryptocurrencies. Now they're kind of changing their tune a little bit, right? What I also learned through this process is there's a lot of banks that are creating these blockers for people to move their money. This is why we're doing it without financial consideration, right? And then you have the government influence. So what we've done is we partnered with a very specific wallet solution that's adaptable to this. And we've created our own token, which acts as a fair exchange voucher, right? So now instead of being, hey, try to get the money out of your bank if you can, if you're in a developing economy, try to get the money out of the bank if the bank will allow you to, and then get it in the space. Now the conversation becomes, hey, we want you to become part of this space. You don't have to worry about bringing any money in right now, right? Because we know that that may or may not be possible for you. But we want you to learn about what the space is about. We want you to immediately gain the value of the knowledge that we have to offer to help you start your journey and help you shape your journey and help you craft your journey.
But even if you look at it from a human perspective, this approach cuts a very big middleman, okay, which is advertisers. So instead of paying all that to advertisers, you're giving a lot more back to the people that are actually using, that are actually learning.
Right, exactly, 100%. So, and that's the social impact aspect of it too, right? So we create a bypass for the financial systems, the government blockers, we remove all that for them. And then we say to their community leaders, we train their community leaders on how this process works, on how they get their voucher that they can exchange for one of our passports to get into our learning center. And then they go back, take it to their communities, and they teach them, right? That's basically how it works. It's that simple. And it's pretty incredible that, you know, we have the capacity to do that. 2 years ago, none of this was possible, right? But now, fast forward 2 years now, it absolutely is possible. And it just goes to show that, you know, with the right people working on the right solutions, anything is possible within this space.
Yeah, there's a lot of different approach compared to other spaces. But yeah, anything is possible, especially considering like the decentralization aspect and the scalability that also that unlocks for movements and for impact in the first place. And the my final question for now is actually, what about Magenta DAO? Like, we'd love to hear like how you're collaborating with Magenta DAO, which is actually going strong right now, and what is actually like your vision over there and the impact?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking it. So with Magenta DAO, and what I found when I first got the introduction to Magenta DAO is they're also working on solutioning and onboarding and education in Latin America. Right. So to me, it just felt like a natural fit, right? The DAO making an impact specifically on Latin American citizens. We have the platform. We have the solution that's going to get people into the space without them having to bring their own money in if they don't want to, right? That's the aspect we cover. We have the learning center already. And so all we need to do is just leverage that to Magenta DAO's favor. And, you know, whatever Magenta DAO wants, if they want a token gate, we can cover that, right? Whatever, however Magenta DAO wants to introduce this to their community, as far as the technical capabilities on the back end, we've already got that covered, right? I would say that I feel is going to drive community growth on both angles, especially in the Latin American region in LATAM. And I'm excited for it, and I can't wait to see what comes about it. I know we've got it. You know, a lot of eager young people wanting to learn about this space. They have a mentor, mentee type program as well that's under development that's, you know, kind of naturally and organically happen. As far as when we talk about our career pathing, right, when people start graduating from KF Media, it's going to be exactly that model. It's going to be partnering them up with a mentor who's created a path before them of how they can have a sustainable career inside of Web3. And the beauty about both these programs too, that all funding that comes into either program goes out in the form of scholarships in taking care of their first year of on-chain transactions until they get set up and start making sustainable income for themselves. Everybody who participates in these programs, that's where the funding goes. So KF Media doesn't keep any of it. It all goes back out to the learners, to the students, to whoever wants to create a career in Web3 and learn how to do it. We will sponsor their first year of on-chain fees with whatever they're doing, whether it's art, music, you know, they want to become a dev, whatever. We'll sponsor that through funding sources through time.
Especially coming from your perspective and from your experience, what are some things that you believe, especially youth that is entering the blockchain space, especially from the creative industries like film, media, music, should really keep in mind before entering the space and to actually get success and to achieve the thing that they set out to achieve? Like, what is some advice that maybe you would give to your younger self if you were entering right now?
Take it slow, learn incrementally and build iteratively, right? One of the greatest teachers I feel of us in life is our curiosity and the lessons that we take from experimentation. So don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to be curious, right? Find your tribe, as they would say, right? Or find your community and, just learn and absorb as much as you can through that process. Don't be in a rush to get to the end line because the end line is still far away. You know, we oftentimes say, Chris, that this space is a marathon disguised as a sprint, and people are always in a rush to get to the end point. But don't be in a rush to get to the end point, and take your time, get there at your own pace, and learn as you go, and find a community to support you along the way, and you'll be just fine.
That's an awesome advice, actually. Like, take it easy. Go with the flow. Will, thank you for sharing all these insights. Is there anything else maybe I should have asked you but maybe didn't touch on that you'd like to share?
Just, you know, our socials, we're easily to find on X platform. We're easily to find on Farcaster. We're easy to find on arena.social as well. If you're trying to look for a website right now, our website's under reconstruction. Yeah, follow us, see what we're all about. If you want to have a conversation, we'll get you into a one-on-one meeting and we can take it from there.
That's awesome. We're gonna link the socials in the description below so everyone can find them easily.